Thank you, Chris. What a blessing it is to have him here. You know, and like I said before, these men are speaking to us today. They spend a lot of time away from their families, a lot of time away from their loved ones doing this, being here for us, challenging us. So we need to pray for them. We need to make sure that we're praying for them. All right, confessions end in about 10 minutes, so you still have time. If you're in line, you won't get cut off. Our next guest, the youth have already had an opportunity to meet this man. Justin Fatica has been speaking around the world for 20 years. And in 2020 years, he's like we were saying last night, he must be about 8 years old when he started. In 2002, he founded Hard as Nails Ministry that has in the past 16 years over 2 million people. He's made numerous television appearances, Good Morning America, Nightline, EW10. He's even had a documentary made that aired on HBO. He's the author of 5 books, and he's currently traveling the country with his Your Amazing Missions. From Syracuse, New York, where he lives with his beautiful wife, Mary Elizabeth, and his 5 children. You know what? Let's welcome him. So why don't everybody stand up? Everybody stand up. And repeat after me as loudly as you possibly can. And I don't want to have to be like, that's not loud enough. So repeat after me. Justin.
Justin.
You're amazing.
You're amazing.
Justin Fatica.
For God has called you here to change the direction of your life, to change you now. That's why God called us here. Chris said it. He doesn't want to list your laundry list of all you've done. God doesn't care about your 4,000 rosaries. I pray a rosary daily. But if my heart's not in the rosary, our family prays a rosary daily. But it's not about the rosary daily. It's about the heart you do it with. It's about the passion that you have. Our kids are suffering. You know why they're suffering? Because we're afraid to get rejected. That's why. We're afraid to get rejected. Yeah, because you got rejected by your dad. Well, so did I. When are we going to grow up and realize that God got on a mountain, on the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. When are we going to realize it's not who's toughest, but as St. Paul said, it's who can be the weakest in front of the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the weakest, and that is what made him the strongest. I pray today that you will be a man ready for rejection. You will cry daily, for the Bible says, those who sow in tears will reap in joy, not those that smile and say, I have the truth and you're an idiot. No, those who cry for widows, those who cry for sons that have died, people have committed suicide, mental illness, yes, depression, anxiety. It's out there. Every one of us fight through it. Whatever it may be, your addictions or a loss of a lover. God brought me here today, gentlemen, so that we get out there and get rejected. Do you have a smile? Are you ready? You want to get rejected? Because that's what it's always been, and that's what it'll be forever. Getting rejected is the bottom line. Who agrees? Raise your hand. You're like, the bottom line is to be praised. Really? To be praised? I'll tell you right now. I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I was 17, and it has nothing to do with being praised. Oh my God, I've been thrown out of a whole state before. You know what I mean? Have you ever gotten thrown out of a state? I mean, seriously. All right? But the bottom line is like, some of you might not know my story, so I'll tell it quickly. Basically, I had this priest. He bothered me. He had a unibrow. Wouldn't a priest with a unibrow bother you? You ever meet one? I told him to pluck it. You know what I mean? Like, to his face. You're like, you were a jerk. You see, the Bible says, be either hot or cold, not lukewarm, or God will spit you out of your mouth. All right, I'm going to give up. I was a jerk. I was a jerk with everything I had. Some of you are half jerks. You know what I mean? Like, be a full jerk then, all right? One way or the other today. So I looked at this priest, right? I said, you pluck your unibrow. He's like, shut up, Fatika, shut up. I go, oh, okay, nice. You're a real Christian. You know what I mean? Like, and so anyway, so I couldn't stand this priest so much that one day I wanted to bother him. So I took my shoes off. I put them up on his desk because I was a cafeteria Catholic, had no faith in God. Put them up on his desk. He comes storming in. Get your feet off that desk now, Fatika. And I said, you say please. He goes crazy. Did you ever meet a crazy priest? I'm sure you have. And he goes so crazy, he grabs me by the throat like this, puts me up on a wall. I'm like, this has never happened before. I must have a lot of potential, you know what I mean? So he's got me up the wall and he's like, you're an a-hole, you're an a-hole, you're an a-hole. I thought he was speaking in tongues or something, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm sitting there like, holy cow. I looked at this priest, I was like, you're a jerk. That's what you are. People don't go to this school because of you. Meanwhile, he didn't know that every day of my life I questioned. I didn't have a mission. I didn't have a purpose. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I wanted to live for. But I had a mom. I had a dad. I had brothers, sisters. I had pasta on Sundays. I grew up in a mansion. I had a Jeep Wrangler when I was 16. I had all the money in the world, but I had no heart for anybody because I didn't know the truth. That it wasn't about all that you know. It's the measure by which you're willing to be rejected. The measure by which you're willing to die for the gospel. That's why people will listen to. When's the last time somebody in America died for the gospel? They're dying every day for addiction. They're dying every day for illness and hatred towards self. And what is the greatest death you can have? By asking your dad or telling your dad, hey, it hurt me when you did that. Your friend, it hurt me when you did that. And so me with this priest, I couldn't stand him. He couldn't stand me. And then this priest decides to write me a letter. Sorry, I look at the letter and it says, I don't like you.
That's for sure.
And you don't like me. I'm like, that's definite. You got a unibrow, seriously. And then he writes, I pray for you by name every day. I'm like, what are you praying for me for? You don't even like me. Like, and it hit me. When he gave me the letter, I started messing with him. And he's like, shut up. Well, I end up thinking I got a girl pregnant. I get 820 on my SATs. And I get told I can't be a part of any extracurricular activity because of my attitude and my grades. And this priest used to ask me to ask the class to go on retreat. He never asked me personally, because when he tells the story, he said that he hated me so much that what he used to do was he would sit in the chapel, in adoration chapel, and when God said, ask this guy on a retreat, he'd bring the newspaper out and say, never. I can't spend 48 minutes with this kid, let alone a whole weekend, you know. And so what does he do? He doesn't ask me on a retreat. I raise my hand and I say, I want to go on the retreat, Father. He goes, really? What are you going to teach us? I can teach you something about Jesus. I go on that retreat. And a lot of you today ask yourself, why are you here today? You know why you're here today? The same reason I was there 22 years ago. The same reason that there's somebody in your life that rejected you and you gave up. You gave up because you're afraid. What if this priest gave up? What if he said it's not worth it? I'll stop bringing the gospel. I'll stop bringing the message. What if he stopped? Our apostolate has impacted millions. I'm not saying I'm great or anything, but the Christ who was in that priest challenged me. And it's not like every person in our class came to Jesus. The rest were like, whatever. I go on this retreat. And I end up bowing my head and praying a prayer. I said it like this. I said, Lord, you get me through this. Who's ever been there before? Lord, you get me through this. I give you everything. But I meant it. See, a lot of you sitting here, you've prayed that prayer. You forgot it. You lost the passion. You prayed that now things are good. So it's like, whatever. No, God needs our help. How many of you have somebody right now in your family that's got an addiction? Stand up. Stand up if you have somebody in your family that's got an addiction that breaks your heart. Look around, gentlemen. Look around. Clap your hands for these men being real. Clap your hands for them. You can be seated. You see, I prayed that prayer. I said, Jesus, you got me through this. You get me through this. I'll give you everything. And I meant it with everything in my heart. How many of you have given your life to God? Really? How many people are going to heaven because of you? How many? You're like, I don't know. Guess what? That's what we live for, getting people to heaven. That's what we die for. How many of us are reading our Bibles daily? We don't miss, no matter what. You see, God got us this far. Now, how many of you had a father leave you in your life? Stand up. You didn't have a father in your life. Stand up. A father that left you. Stay standing. Don't be embarrassed. You have fought through life with God the Father without a father, and that deserves and demands this crowd's respect and dignity. That is an unbelievable gift that you have suffered in that way and have fought through it. Clap your hands for that. They have fought through this with God the Father. How many of you have fought through anxiety and depression in your life? And it's a daily battle, but through God the Father, through praying the prayer I prayed, say, God, if you can help me through this, I'll give you everything. How many of you have fought through anxiety and depression? Stand up. Stand up. You know how many young people were here today in my other session? Give it up for them. Clap your hands for them. That's the cross. You're like Christ on the cross. You're like Christ on the cross. How many of you, God has healed you from an addiction yourself personally, and you fought through it, and every day it's a challenge, but you say, God, if you get me through this, I'll give you everything. Stand up if God has gotten you through your addiction to whatever it may be. Clap your hands for these men. I said a second prayer. See, I was in like, you know, wild prayer land. Did you ever get there? You start saying things you probably shouldn't have said. So I prayed. I said it. So the first prayer was, get me through. Now I start like, wow, God's going to do this. This is going to be great. I prayed a second prayer. I said, Lord, you die for me. I'll die for you. Who thinks that's a dumb prayer? But I meant it. I meant it with every... See, a lot of you pray your prayers half a heart, and guess what? The Lord will give you half of your heart. He's not going to give you what you don't want, but he's going to take... Well, guess what? I've had knives to my throat for the gospel. They're like, I can imagine if you talk like this all the time. Yeah, I'm intense, man. But how much more intense are they out there for what's wrong, for what's evil, what's sinful? Well, I want to let you know my teacher every day was Father Larry Richards. I don't know if any of you know who that guy is, all right? And he was my teacher. It was my dream because the Bible says in John chapter 5, it says that we want to do the things that our Father does, right? That's why so many people think, God, you want to do things like God the Father, amen? Or we'd be in trouble. We want to do things like Jesus said that. I'm just doing what my Father wants me to do. And so I'm 17 years old. I'm like, I want to go preach the gospel all throughout the world. I didn't know how hard that would be. So I go to a campus, and I start knocking on people's doors, right? And I start knocking on people's doors. As I knock on this one door, all of a sudden I walk in, and I see this girl. She has freckles. I'm like, freckle people, they're nice people. Who agrees? Freckle people are nice people, all right? 9 out of 10, there's always that jerky kid that was picked on in the third grade, but we won't talk about him, all right? But I go with this freckle girl. I'm like, and I look at her, she's crying. I'm like, oh, man, we got a crier. Oh, man. I'm like, what are you crying about? She goes, I'm homesick. I go, You need Jesus in your life. You won't be so homesick. She goes, you need to get out of my room. I was like, oh, man, this isn't as easy as I thought. But guess what? Now I'm married to her, so I went back for more. You know what I'm talking about. Do you go back for more? Or are you afraid to be rejected? So I'm 19. I'm starting to live the gospel. I start traveling. I'm going to a church next month. I've been going there 20 years every year. Every year I've been preaching there for 20 years. You know why? Because I had somebody in my life who mentored me, who spent time with me. And gentlemen, it's the same thing for every one of us. There are people that need us. They need us to welcome in their homes. They need us to invite them over, but we're afraid to be rejected. Our homes every week should have somebody that we're bringing the gospel to. Every week we have somebody in our homes that we're bringing the gospel to. Oh, we just invite them to church because we're scared. They might hurt my family. Let me tell you something. Your family's a gift from God. They've been saying it all conference long. It's about the family. Well, why don't we have our family? Because they might find out you're a jerk too when they talk to your wife. You see, we can't have duplicity. You know, I remember I start traveling, so then I start speaking. Now I'm going all over. I'm in my 20s. And all of a sudden I go into the airport as I'm flying around. I see a priest, I'll get a blessing, you know, it won't kill me, right? And so I go up to this one priest, I'm like, that ain't no stinking priest. That's a bishop. I'm like, dang, all right, double the blessing, you know. I go up to him, like, hey, bishop, can I have a blessing? He's like, what line of work do you do? I go, I'm a preacher, bishop. He goes, what denomination? I go, I'm Catholic. He's like, I didn't know we had those. I was like, rejected again. People don't even know what I'm doing. We got to be willing to be rejected for the sake of the gospel every day. I went back to my dad. He goes, what you doing? You can't pay the bills, man. I go, I know. And he goes, I'm not going to help you. Why don't you go be some business speaker? Dad, I didn't give my life to business. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saved my life, Dad. He saved my life. Do you believe that Jesus Christ saved your life, or don't you? Or you should believe in some idea of Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ saved my life. If we believe that, then why don't we want every single person? Everybody deserves a relationship with a father. Not just you, because you had one. God bless you. But there's almost 50% of America who wish they had a relationship with their father. Do you understand how much you matter to people? How important you are? How your invitation, no matter how many times you get rejected, how much it means. And so I kept going. My dad's question. I didn't even want to go home. I go to my wife as we're married. I'm like, why do I even go home? It was because my dad was bad. He just had the same problem the bishop did. What the heck is my son doing? I end up having an HBO movie on my life. People start rejecting me even more for the sake of the gospel, to the point of, like, it hurt. Did you ever get to the rejection where it hurts? Good. A lot of us are sitting here, get rejection for what? Let me tell you what for what. Let me tell you for what. There are kids that are going to end their lives tomorrow. You know that. Well, I'm just a grandpa. They can't relate to me. Bull crap. They're dying for a letter from their grandpa. They're dying for a kiss and a hug. They're dying for you, the father, the uncle. And why? Because God's humble. That's why. Because God makes us important when we're nothing. We are nothing. But our God loved us so much that he said, guess what? I'm going to make you important to somebody. Good for you. You did nothing, but he made you important. We've done nothing, but he made us matter. Well, why don't we do something with it? Because it mattered whether the father stayed or whether the father went. It matters whether somebody's got addictions to drugs or the most perfect saint you might think. People don't matter because of what they do. They matter for who they are as children of God. That's why they matter. That's why we get rejected. That's why we're passionate about what we believe in. So I kept going, even though I wanted to change my name. I was like, J.P. Fatika, that's nice. And, you know, but then something happened to me. I started taking rejection to my heart. I started letting it hurt like Jesus did. And I look people in the eyes and go, how many of you have a father that left you? I'm sorry, because that hurts when people reject you. I started preaching the way Jesus would want me to, with a broken heart. Being the man I was called to be. I started seeing all these people saying, yeah, I know what you're talking about. But I didn't want to give up. My dream was to be like the Catholic Billy Graham, you know what I mean? Well, I want you to know that I only preached in North Carolina two times in my life. And one was a week and a half ago. And guess where I was at? I'm not telling you because I'm great. I'm just telling you because God loves you guys. I was at Billy Graham's casket, kneeling down, going, Billy, I know you're up there, and you know all about Our Lady, all right? And you know all about the Eucharist and all the treasures of the faith. Now it's time to help me out, all right? We're in this together now, and we're going to do this. And all of a sudden, I stood up, and I smiled, and I heard in my heart, amen. You know what I mean? I was like, let's go. And you know what? You might think that's not, like, Lottie Law, nice story, went to Billy. But you don't know my father. My father knew that me being at that casket, that might not be important to you, but it was important to me, his son. And that's what God, he's important. I was 17. I said, I'm going to kiss one girl. One girl. Now, that's hard to do. But one girl for the rest of my life. And guess what? I've only kissed one girl since I was 17. Her name's Mary Elizabeth Fatika. And God knew what that prayer meant. And God knew what the prayer meant. When I was 19 years old, I was in the evangelical church and they're handing out Bibles like water and ice. Water and ice. Bibles, water and ice. I want to tell you, 3.5 years ago, a Jew for Jesus gave me the first donation. Yeah, because Catholics are cheap. And you know what? And guess what? And the Jew for Jesus gives me $10,000 and says, you go be that Catholic Billy Graham and give out a Bible to anybody you want. Get this going. And over 2.5 years ago, I've been handing almost, we're up to over 50,000 Bibles that we've handed out for nothing, for free. And how many of you got one of those Bibles today? You know why? You know why? Because I prayed the prayer. I said, God, I was 19. I said, God, all these evangelicals are handing out Bibles to everybody. I go, Lord, I want to do the same. You think that's possible? Now, I'll tell you all the prayers that he didn't answer for the sake of my talk today. But let me tell you something. A lot of you are sitting here, and I believe there's a prayer God wants to answer today. Where you at, Russ? Where's Russ at? Come here, Russ. Come here, buddy. Give it up for Russ here. Clap your hands for Russ right now. Now I'm going to do something, Russ. I believe this is a gift. See, Russ came to me. It was a miracle today. I was back there just minding my own business, handing out Bibles like water and ice. And Russ came and talked to me about how just recently his son passed away. See, a lot of us think that we're going to change the world by all the perfect things that we have in our life. But Russ is going to change the world because he said this to me. He goes, you know how important my son, it's not about what he does. That's my son. I love him. How many of you ever had a son, God forbid, pass away? Come up and give him a hug. How many of you ever had a son or daughter pass away? Come up and give him a hug. And say, you're not the only one. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who's ever had a son or daughter pass away? Come up and give him a hug. You see, this is why they're afraid. Maybe I'll get rejected. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I go on the cross for the world. And I say, guess what? How many of you ever had a mom or dad pass away when you were young? When you were real young, come up and give them a hug. This guy's not struggling here with his son passing away and us just sitting here getting some idea of Jesus. No, this is Jesus. These guys are like Christ hugging Russ, saying, "You're not." How many of you ever had somebody that took care of you, that was there, that spit blood for you, and they passed away? Come up and give them a hug. You see, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you ever, you raised your hand, said you had an addiction before? Here, I need you to raise your hand. No, who raised their hand and said they had an addiction before? Raise your hand. Could you help me out? Come up here, man. You know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is? Saying, I was an addict. My son died. But Jesus was there for me. Jesus is real. Amen? And if he's real, we'll do anything to get somebody to be saved. How many of you right now are fighting addiction or you have fought an addiction? What's your name?
Mark.
Mark. Come up and give Mark a hug and say, you know what, Mark? You're not the only one. I fought through an addiction, or you yourselves are fighting through it right now. And we'll pray for you. Come up and give him a hug and say, or a high five and say, look, Mark, I'm here for you. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that people are invited and people are saved, that people are saying to themselves, what is Jesus doing right now? And you're like, you made up this ministry, didn't you? Sorry, go read your Bible. I'll give you a free one back there. Invitation ministry. The woman's at the well. He says, go, come on. He had a crowd. He called somebody a whore, right? And he had a crowd. He said, I know all the bad things she did, and I don't judge her. What are you guys going to do? Same thing. Zacchaeus in the tree. There was a crowd. He did this with crowds. Why? So people would respond. How many of you have something right now you need to change in your life? And if you don't change it, you're going to hurt your family. Be honest. Raise your hand. Who has one thing in their life that you could be bold enough to say, if I don't change? Of course, a young person's raising their hand because all the adults are perfect in here. How many of you adults out there have one thing you need to change, or you're going to hurt your family if you don't change? Come up here, man. I need your help. Come on up. You both of you. Come on. It won't kill you to have two. What if right now, this is the day. What's your name?
Jacob.
What if right now, what's your name? Joe. What if right now there's somebody right now going, let's go. I have something I need to change. I have something that God wants to change in my life. How many of you really have something you need to change today? Or you could hurt your family, your kids, your mom, your dad. Come up and give these two a high five or a hug and say, I need to change too, or I'm going to hurt someone. Come up and give them a hug and let them know. Who's being real here? Who's being real? This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is this. Give it up for these two men. Clap your hands. Do you have guys that have helped you in your faith journey? Do you have any men that have helped you in your faith journey? I want you to go give them a hug and say thank you. Thank you. And thank you for your witness. And thank you for what you fought through. You're a hero, Mark. Thank you. That's why we're here today, to change our lives. And I have one last story, and then I'm going to ask you to close in prayer. You see, I want to believe. My dad was an atheist, then he became an agnostic, now he's a deist, so I'm halfway there, you know. But guess what? I don't love my dad because he's a deist. And I don't love my dad because he's a Catholic or an atheist. I love my dad because he's my dad. And I hope many more will be changing today. Give it up for these two men being courageous here. We got to change, amen? We got to use all our suffering to bring people to the gospel. That's what I'm saying. Maybe you don't hear me. What I'm saying is we got to use our suffering. We got to be like Christ on the cross and use all of it. Well, I decided I have a 98-year-old grandmother. She's wild. When she was 95, she got pulled over for going 60 in a 40. She gets pulled over and she says, yes, young man. And the young officer says, you know how fast you're going? Why are you talking to me like that? Of course I know how fast I'm going. She says, are you going to give me the ticket? She says, no. He goes, no, it's no big deal. She says, really? I did wrong, and you're not. Do you want to be let off the hook for things you do wrong, officer? Is that what you want to do? So she starts talking junk to the officer, you know. Like, she goes, you go back in that car there and you write me this ticket because I'm 95 and I deserve it. And she's smiling. He goes back, he writes, she's Sicilian, 100% Sicilian. She's not even Italian, she says, I'm Sicilian. So anyways, the one thing I know is my dad loves my grandmother. And she always says, why am I on this earth? And a lot of you are saying, why am I even here? Some of you are older going, man, really? I got more years? Nothing's working. You know what I mean? And she always tells me, why am I even on this earth? And one day I got the courage to challenge the Sicilian. I was like, I don't know if I should do it, but I'm going to do it. And I look at her and I go, Graham, she says, yeah, I know. I go, I know why you're on this earth. She says, what is that? Should I do it or not? And I go, when Dad was 12 years old, he needed your love, but you didn't give it to him. Oh, what you gonna do to me? Really, what do you mean? I go, well, he needed your love and you didn't give it to him. And that's why you're on this earth still. She goes, he wouldn't care. I go, go test it out, see what happens. And when Christians talk about giving your heart, you know what it means? It means telling them when you were rejected. My son back there has come to me and said, Dad, I've been rejected. And I told him, me too. You see, that's why the cross changed our life, amen? Because it wasn't Jesus saying, oh, you need to get over it, you wimp. He's going, no, I know what you're going through. I'm with you. I love you. That's why I did this. I'm there. That's what we need to do to evangelize the world in our homes, to bring them to us. Said, I've been there too. It hurts. It's hard. So 3 years later, I'm at Christmas dinner and I'm with my dad. And all of a sudden I go, Dad, so how are things going with you and Graham? Usually he goes, they're good, but this time he goes, things are going really well. I was like, did she do it? Never. Now, a lot of you, they would die. Isn't that sad? They would die if you went home and like loved them up like you wouldn't believe. If you did things you never have done before. If you shared things you never shared before. If you shared challenges you faced that you never went through. That's what the cross is. Sharing how Jesus saved our life with the world. So all of a sudden, I look at my dad. It's Christmas dinner. He goes, things are good. I go, what happened? What do you mean things are good? He goes, what, do you know something? I go, no, well, 3 years ago. He goes, what do you mean 3 years ago? I go, well, 3 years ago. Tell me about what you do to Graham. I go, 3 years ago, I told her that when you were 12, she needed to give her heart to you and she didn't. He said, you said that? I go, yeah, and I said, you should go do it. You see, people want us to fight for them, that they deserve the dignity of love. All of a sudden, I look over my dad. He's not a crier, right? All of a sudden, he's crying like a baby. I mean, tears coming down. My wife looks at me and goes, what'd you do to him? You know? All of a sudden, he's crying. I'm going, oh, man. I asked one last question. It's the question people are waiting for you. Are we ready to die on the cross with Jesus Christ to help him? To do what he did to save this world who's suffering. To suffer well with them. Because just because you live well doesn't mean you'll suffer well. But just because if you suffer well, you will be able to live well. And I said to my dad as he's crying, I go, Dad, did she do it? And he couldn't even say the words. He just starts bawling. Do you know what that meant? That somebody loved my dad? My grandmother? Do you know what it means when you tell people the cross that you've been through? How many of you, your crosses haven't been easy? And some of you, your crosses have been easy because you don't want to pray that prayer. Jesus, you died for me. Yeah, I have been thrown out of states. And yeah, people have mocked me, even my own family at times. And yes, I got thrown out of that girl's room, that's for sure. But I went back for more. And you know why? Because unless souls are saved, nothing is saved. Venerable Fulton Sheen. Guys, I'm asking you a favor from my heart to you, from God's heart to my heart. Do you know how much you mean to these people? Do you? If you do, you will die for them. What does that mean? Doing the thing you don't want to do. Telling them God saved you from that abuse. Telling them God helped you, that God was there for you. And how many of you believe God saved your life? As I hope, Russ, you know today. I believe this was a moment for you, Russ. Hey, God is with you. He's with you. Russ needed this today and God gave it to him. Did he have to have it? No, but God gave it to him so he'd know that God is with him through that suffering. And give it up for Russ one more time. And now I ask you the question. The question is this. Are you saved? You know how you know someone's saved? They're willing to die for Jesus Christ. That they'll bring every single person to them, no matter how many people reject them. Why? Because they'll know they're not alone. So let's bow in prayer. Right now, God's asking you this question. Are you ready to give your entire life to him? Are you ready as adoration comes? Are you ready to pour your whole heart out to him and say, I have rejected people. How many of you have somebody in your life you've rejected? How many of you have somebody in your life that you've mocked? How many of you have somebody in your life that you've hurt, that you need to change the direction? How many of you have things in your life that you don't want to change, that you know if you don't change them, it could really hurt your family or friendships or even yourself? And today's the day to do it. As you bow your head in prayer, I ask you to ask yourself this question. Are you ready to give your entire life to Jesus Christ? Are you ready to give it all to him? All of it. All of the shame, all of the guilt, as you did in confession. If you didn't go, I'm sure during adoration, a priest will help you. Right now, I ask you, are you ready to give your whole entire life to Jesus Christ? Because why did Jesus suffer? And why do you suffer with cancer? Why do you suffer in your own life personally? We suffer for one reason. So we can cling to the cross of Jesus Christ and unite ourselves with the Master, the King, who suffers with us. For God sent his only Son to show the world how amazing they are. Right now in your own prayer, I ask you, give your life to Jesus Christ. And when you're ready, stand and give him all of the pain, all of the suffering. Say, Lord, turn it into joy. Because what I've learned in the sake of the gospel, the relationship that my son and I have, my wife and I have, I don't deserve it because I have the best life ever, even though it hurts. Even though I've been through rejection, people have that respect, and God wants you to give his life to him. So if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, if you want to do that, this isn't about me, this is about you and Jesus. He's saying, I gave you my life. Are you ready to die for him? And that means, son, you rejected me, it hurt me. Not, son, you rejected me, you're a jerk. It means, Dad, I love you, even if you're going to hurt me back. And if you give your whole life to Jesus Christ and you want that, stand when you're ready. Don't stand because others are standing. I mean, it's on your heart. Don't just get up. It means a prayer that you're going to say, I'm done living this life. I want to be saved. I'm done being the man of excuses. I want to die for Jesus Christ. I'm done being the person that hurts people. I want to be the person that dies for people. I'm done being the person that mocks people. I want to be the person that builds people up. I'm done hating myself. I want to see that Jesus wouldn't die for anyone who's a loser. I want to give my whole life. And if you're standing, you pray with everything you got. And pray that God can change your life forever. For it's the greatest gift you'll ever be given. It's the greatest gift. If you have a tug on your heart, go for it. and pray that prayer. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to change. I'm going to be a new man. I'm going to change the direction of life. I'm going to do the impossible. And I pray that your home will be different, that every week or every month people will be in your homes. I'm a traveling preacher, 75 to 150 days, and I still have every week I'm in town, there are people at my house, inviting people to our homes for their lives to be changed forever.